Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Oh, I did watch the Kanye one too.
Actually. Oh yeah, I only watched two of them, but let's talk about the Kanye one.
Yeah,
I think the third one might be where everything good happens. Was it Genius?
Oh, dude, I just got that.
That's amazing.
You said it out loud. Oh my God. We are recording, right? Because that needed to be in the episode because I just fucking got it. Hi, I'm Parker Romaine.
I'm George Chen.
And you're listening to SubDoc.
And today we're doing a Watch or Not episode. It's just me and Paco talking about stuff we've watched, stuff you should or should not watch, stuff we loved, stuff we hated, just stuff.
A lot of stuff.
Literally, we just literally have not talked in a minute. So this is like, it's just a fun little afternoon.
Oh, shit, dude, do you know what today is?
Is it our fucking anniversary?
It is. It is. It's May 6th.
What is 7? I've got to look up what a 7.
Holy shit.
Is.
How did we do that? We did not plan God. This.
We today this has to come out now.
Today is our 7-year fucking anniversary, dude.
Oh, my God.
Holy shit.
Copper and wool.
Oh, you're copper and wool.
Can you mail me a penny?
Yes, yeah. I can. And together we make electricity, baby.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I had a crazy conversation about batteries yesterday.
Oh, it fits.
Yeah.
7 years. Well, fucking happy anniversary.
Yeah. Happy anniversary. Like we didn't know. I also have an anniversary next week. So it's all anniversary. May is a big month for me, I guess.
Is it?
Yeah. Wedding anniversary.
Oh, yeah. Your wedding anniversary is coming up. And
guess
what?
It's overlapping with our building getting fumigated.
Of course it is. Well, I hope you're going to a fancy hotel or something.
We decided that we found out so late and we just looked at Airbnb. So we're just like, we're going to go out of town. It's cheaper to get an Airbnb out of town.
Yeah. It's LA's got expensive Airbnbs, dude. Man.
It
I know.
Ridiculous.
I know. It's crazy, but dude, let's just like ruminate for a second on 7 years.
7 years.
We were just kids when we started this thing. Just a couple kids straight out of
Just a couple of
middle-aged men straight out of adulthood who had a wacky idea and put it together 7 years ago, man. That's nuts.
Just think if we didn't record today, then we wouldn't have thought about it at all.
No, we wouldn't. We would not have thought about it at all because I was about to say, like, when you were like, we haven't recorded in a long time, I was about to say, like, our 7-year anniversary is coming up. And I was like, oh, wait, that's fucking today. It's actually yesterday.
Oh, my God. May and we 5th. Actually that means we started recording in April because we banked like 3 episodes before we went live.
I think not. Well, I think we actually
that sounds right.
And yeah, maybe. Well, I think we recorded May 5th and then put it out like May 12th or something. I don't know. I don't remember.
7-year itch. We're already bickering. Already bickering.
Fuck you, George. You should know this.
You never respect my mom. Yeah.
And then look at like Matt Leibs doing great things, like some of our early our early guests,
dude,
you know,
so many people are doing so well.
Jesus Christ.
And then there's us.
And then there's us. Thank you. Exactly.
Keeping it
I'm
real.
I'm going to kill myself now.
Keeping
yeah.
It real.
I went and saw Frankie Kionis last weekend at Cobb's.
Seeing
and I was just like
2 weeks. Yeah.
Like, Jesus, man. It's like, I think it's odd. I mean, don't get me wrong. As much as I hate and have so much jealousy and I'm petty as fuck, I also love the fact that these people that I actually love who are super talented are doing great things. You know, it's fucking nuts.
It's been really interesting. It also is a sign of, like, I think how long we've been around, where, like, people that are, and I'm genuinely happy for, like, look, like, SNL is everyone's favorite punching bag, but, like, James Austin Johnson is killing it.
Mm-hmm.
Claire is on the writing staff.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's Claire O'Kane. Yeah. That's, and then David Bory's doing great things. Kionis, Marcella, obviously Ali Wong.
Bay. A lot of Bay people are
Bay,
like,
baby.
Up. Yeah.
Yeah. The yay area. We keep on winning. Fucking 7 years. That is nuts, man. And it's, and like the last time you and I talked was, we realized around August or September of 2021. Last time we recorded an episode together.
Man. Yeah. Last time we did that. But we got to talk to goddamn one of the greats of all time. One of the greatest, podcast gets you can get.
James.
Yeah.
You mean? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
James Urbaniak. Yeah, that was awesome. And Heather Ross.
Yeah. We talked to them about their... We've been doing so many, like, comedy documentaries.
Yeah.
Speaking of, can I just tease, what? Like, the next episode?
Yeah, of course. Please next do.
I actually got to talk... There's a documentary about the kids in the hall coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be May 20th, and it's going to be on Amazon Prime. And I think that's also around the same time they're launching the new season of Kids in the Hall. They're doing like a reboot, or not? It's not a reboot. I don't know what you call it. It's like a continuation of Kids in the Hall. And so I got to talk to the director and to the producers.
That's awesome.
Yeah, the director
of the documentary.
Of the documentary, it's just Kids in the Hall Comedy Punks.
Mm.
That'll be dropping soon. That interview is with Reg Harkema, who's the director. And Paul Myers, who is a Bay Area favorite, and he wrote the book One Dumb Guy about the Kids in the Hall. So he's executive producer on the film. And the other executive producer I got to talk to is actually Nick McKinney, who's Mark's brother, who I guess has also done like a ton of comedy and producing stuff over the years.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. And don't bury the lead on Paul.
Oh, Paul Myers.
He has a famous brother.
Paul Myers has a famous brother, Mike Myers. And so he was around the entire Toronto, like, kind of early mid 80s days, like, was in improv classes with like Dave Foley and Kevin McDonald and stuff.
Oh, wow.
So he has seen them evolve over the years.
That's so cool. Yeah. And did you like the doc?
Doc's great. Conversation's great. We got a good half hour with those guys. All great talkers, all super
awesome,
smart. I mean, Paul has written a ton of books. He's like a music journalist, musician. This is his first, I guess, comedy biography. He's done a ton of band books. I mean, like, music biography is like appropriate for a comedy troupe like Kids in the Hall. Like, it's
right
close. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's weird how they kind of, they're kind of parallel stories a lot of times.
Yeah.
Like the Anvil, this band of Anvil
is amazing.
They could have been a comedy group, you know.
Did you watch the screener, or did you not get to watch the screener?
I didn't get a chance.
I'll send you a screener. You're going
to please. Yeah. It's, I really
right
want
up your alley.
To.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I really, and I love that. I love the Canadian Toronto improv sketch comedy scene.
Oh yeah,
so many great fucking people came out of that. And you know, I grew up in Michigan, and we would drive up to Toronto a lot and go see comedy there in Detroit.
And your roommate was from Toronto, so you met all these other Toronto people.
I met a lot of Toronto comedians when I lived in LA with my Toronto roommate. Yes, like, yeah, she would have like Boxing Day dinners and stuff, and it was like Canadians being so happy and drunk and congenial.
I got to say, like, it's true, too, that, like, when I meet Canadian comics that move to the States, they're usually, like, killers. Like,
oh, yeah.
They got out. Because they got to develop all their skills, and then, like, no one down here knew who they were.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
so
absolutely.
Crazy. It's crazy because, like, I'm like, fuck, I kind of think, like, the Toronto scene's, like, cooler than the LA scene, probably.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I think most scenes are cooler than the LA scene. It's just LA scene is extremely important. You know, it has to happen.
Yes.
But most scenes, I think, are much better than the LA scene.
Yeah.
mostly because of, no, you know, everywhere else you get stage time, you get appreciative audiences, you get audiences, you know, people actually pay to see you. They want to see you again. They'll talk to you, you know, they're interested.
This reminds me to tell the audience that we do talk about comedy a lot on this show.
Oh yeah. Well, we haven't talked in months. So if you know,
this is literally our, like, yeah, we have, we're like, I'm like, well, so you've been doing a lot of shows. I haven't been doing very many shows, but we've both been super busy since the fall. We should also say shout out 7 years. Like, our producer, Will, yes, Scoville, Will, has taken a step back from his projects, but I'm calling him producer emeritus.
Yes.
Because he's like sort of like part of the institution of SupDoc. Kind of, oh, like God, our entire, yes, workflow of how we do everything was set up by Will.
Dude, yeah. Will taught us so much and how to be professional podcasters back when it wasn't even a thing when we first started, you know, 7 years ago. Like, that was not really an idea.
It's crazy how much podcasts have kind of blown up in the last 7 years too. It's
yeah.
I remember we thought we were late to the game.
I know. Yeah. That's a lesson in life, man. There's no such thing as late, basically. I mean,
yeah,
you might be behind the curve, but being late is not really the thing. But so, I mean, let's just maybe bounce in and out. Let's get to a doc. We can catch up, get to a doc. Yeah. So the first, I watched the Jimmy Savile doc. It's called A British Horror Story. It's on Netflix. And if you're into true crime, see, I love true crime. And I also love the pulled the wool over people's eyes kind of like con man shit. Mm-hmm. And this one combines both, because this guy was a fucking predator and he was evil. Mm-hmm. And it's a compelling doc. It's a multi-part series. So I think there's 3 episodes. I don't think there's a lot of episodes. Maybe 2. So it's not one of those like 10 part series where they talk about fucking the dude growing up for like a episode, like, oh, mm-hmm, bore. But this one, you already kind of know what's going on because they kind of, they preface it early and they talk about it early, but then they really get into the nitty gritty. And he was basically a very, very popular entertainer in England. And he had like Top of the Pops was one of his show. He did all these shows on the BBC and he was like, I don't even know what the equivalent would be.
Casey Kasem?
No, I mean, he was bigger than Casey, right, Kasem, and also an icon, and also he was from like the 50s until like the 2000s. Like, he was super popular forever, and he was super weird, like super weird cat. And he was irreverent, and it was like all part of his shtick. He'd always talk about the ladies and the birds and like, oh, they're like, what are you up to? And he's like, well, so far I haven't gone to prison. And everyone's like, ha, 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 ha.
Ha, ha, ha.
He's like throwing little breadcrumbs all the time. Boy. Like, yeah, exactly. And he's always smoking cigars, and he's very flashy and very peacocky. And his hair, and it's like you watch this and you're like, how did everyone not just fucking know? Like, this guy, like, one of his things he would do would be to volunteer at hospitals.
That's right. I do remember this part of the story.
Yeah. And when someone
is, news, yeah.
Yeah. When someone is volunteering at, especially like mental hospitals where people are fucking vulnerable and can't fucking fight for themselves, and you have this weirdo dude being like, I do it for the love, I do it for the children, you know, unsupervised. And I spent my own hours, and, you know, it's fucking nuts. But it's not, you know, let's say like fucking 1 to 10 on a level, I'd give it a 6. Not great.
Now, is it only one part, or is it a two-parter?
I think it's 2 parts, if not 3. I believe it was 2 parts. Yeah.
Okay.
And it doesn't even, it's a, you know, one of, again, you know, you and I have our thing about doc series. It could have been one, but
yeah,
I mean, you get the idea, but it's pretty fucking nuts. Like, how long this guy was let to just go on and on and on and on and on. And then
you don't want to give away. Yeah. He's no longer with us, as I recall.
That's it. Yes. He passed away. And then that's when people kind of started coming out.
Came out like kind of after. Yeah. I remember that part.
Yeah. Because
he wasn't big in America. We didn't really know.
Never heard of him.
Yeah.
He's very British. His whole shtick is very British. And he was like, he was dripping like years before that was even a thing. Like, this dude was like fucking, his fits were always on point, because he was like, he dressed really like crazily, and, you know, as the kids say, motherfucker was dripping, you know. So
I love when I know you've been to some open mics recently. You're like getting the slang.
Dude, comedy keeps us young, man. I learned all kinds of shit from like doing comedy and being around green rooms with kids in their 20s. Dead ass right. seems to be something that people say a lot now.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of like when I started, like I'm like everyone had a dubstep joke. People right. would beatbox.
Oh yeah.
A lot so of much. Beatboxing happening at that point.
Oh, so much beat. People still beatbox. It's kind of weird. It's kind of weird.
So I'm not going to watch that.
No.
Based on everything you said, I'm like, that's fine. Paco watched it for the show. That's yeah. cool.
Yeah. I would, like I said, I'd give it a 6. Kind of compelling, not great. A little boring. You kind of knew what was happening. It wasn't earth shattering, you know.
Now, here's my question about that. Like, cause like, I think the difference now, if like, let's say like, okay, NBC obviously protected Cosby. The difference with Jimmy Savile is like, he's like an employee of the government technically, right? Cause the BBC is like a government That's corporation. So like yeah. the enablement question I have there is like with, you know, you can't, I mean, I guess people do probably get, you know, kicked out of the BBC regularly, but is that like an element to this? Like a lot of people covering up for him, a lot of people like enabling him.
Yeah, I would say so. And I think it was also part of the culture that just being salacious and molesty was kind of like fine in a sense because it wasn't overt. He was doing it. He was very, very good. I mean, this guy's obviously a chameleon and a psychopath. He was able to conceal it. And he was there always like, and then one guy was like, he's like, you're always talking about these sexual conquests, but you've never been married. We never see a picture with you with a girlfriend. Like, what the fuck? And he was just like, it's my own story, love. You know, like, so he always had a flippant answer for everything. And people are like, yeah, he's so funny. But like, as he got older, I think it just got weirder and weirder. Yeah. And, but like, there are scenes with, like, he did a show with Gary Glitter.
Oh God. Didn't Gary Glitter have the same issue?
Yes.
In like Asia?
I think all over the fucking place.
Okay.
Asia, but also in the UK, and they shared a dressing room together, which became a problem. And yeah, so it's not something that, you know, I would like tell people you must go see this doc. Cause it's like, you know,
right. Cause like, what can you learn from this thing? This guy's already dead. Mm-hmm. We already know that entertainment is corrupt.
Right.
And that like, you know, predation is commonplace, and yes. if you're famous you can get, so like I'm like, okay, it's just in a different accent,
right?
I don't know, like what, like
it's a little more proper now,
right?
I think if you were from the UK it would be
an expose that,
yeah, something you'd probably want to watch because it's like the equivalent of like, I don't even fucking know.
I was gonna ask you, have you, I haven't watched it yet, I think I will at some point, have you watched Kamau's Cosby?
I wanted to, I don't have Showtime.
That is always a problem with things on Showtime.
Always.
It's like, who has it?
Who has fucking Showtime? I don't have Showtime. I heard his talk on
Marin.
I sent Kamau a text asking if he wanted to do our show, SupDoc. Uh-huh. And he said, yes, please book me. I can't believe you didn't ask. No, I'm joking. I haven't heard back.
It's like, Kamau, do you have a Showtime password we can have?
Hey buddy. Yeah,
no, I mean, it sounds like equivalent, right? Like as I mean, Cosby is also was more, I'm sure people in England knew who Cosby was. We didn't know who Seville was, but
no, you know, yeah. I think Cosby's is even, I mean, how do you judge this grossness, but Cosby seems even worse to me.
Yeah.
His story is even crazier because he got fucking off, you know, like,
right.
He got let out of fucking jail, which is insane.
I think the thing, I mean, my understanding of what the series is about is more like the sort of like, how do you reconcile the things, because he represented a lot to a lot of people, and how do you like, you know, separate any of that, or do you not separate it, or like, just like, how do you deal with that jumble? This is fun. This is a fun topic.
Yeah.
We start with Jimmy Savile.
Yeah. Well, that's deep. Yes. I know. That's what we do. That is SupDoc, man. All right. But we can move on. We can definitely move on. From Jimmy Savile. I mean, we said what we're gonna say about it anyways. I mean, you can't really,
I don't
not
know
much
anything more of that guy. Yeah.
What about you? Oh my gosh.
This is how long ago I started writing these notes. It's like this doc has come and gone
from
the zeitgeist. but I never got to talk to you about the Von Dutch documentary.
Ugh, wow.
Did you watch it?
That was like 4 months ago. It's been a while.
I know.
No, I didn't see it.
Again, it's not good. It's more like about like how you can make a documentary out of anything.
That's funny.
But there's also a lot of terrible people in it and like no one to root for.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I feel about the Von Dutch documentary.
Was it one guy that made hats? I don't even know. Tell me what it's about.
Oh my God. Okay. So there is one guy who started as Von Dutch in like the 50s.
Oh. Okay.
And then another guy kind of took, I think, bought stuff from him when he died and got the rights to like the logo.
Mm.
And then was making like he was like screen printing like Von Dutch stuff, and it was like popular with like car people and like
right.
people in like Venice, like kind of beach culture, kind of rockabilly culture.
Right.
And then there was a guy who started doing that. He started taking the Von Dutch logo and just throwing it on things.
Uh-huh.
And then that blew up. And then there's like 5 or 6 people that claim to be the Von Dutch people. That's
weird.
Part of what the thing's about. But this kid who basically was like their kind of like street marketing guy, and he definitely like put a lot of work into it and like got Tommy Lee to wear Von Dutch like when they did their Cribs episode, and that basically blew up Von Dutch.
Didn't Ashton Kutcher
Everyone in like 2000 like 5 through 7 like all celebrities started wearing Von Dutch. Like Paris Hilton wore Von Dutch.
Yeah,
he's in the doc. Tommy Lee's not interviewed in the doc, but it's basically like about how it's kind of like the scam stuff in a way. It's just like, how do you just convince people that something is valuable? And then there's also a corporate takeover, a hostile takeover that happens. Everyone's a character in this. There's this guy. I think he's like a Swedish martial arts guy who just decided to invest in Von Dutch. And then he kind of pushed this other guy out. This other guy is like doing crazy drugs. He has like this really kind of tragic story that it ends in a murder.
Whoa.
But the thing is, the murder has nothing to do with Von Dutch as a label.
Right. But where can people watch this?
This is on Hulu. I want to say it's 4 parts.
Okay.
And it definitely was like one of those things where you know it's not good, but you're just like, what?
I would say
this is similar to Bad Vegan in that regard.
Oh, okay.
It's like it's not really about the veganism, but then like the hook is in there. Like Von Dutch, there's like 4 episodes. There's a lot of plot lines. There's a lot of like threats of violence. There's a lot of drugs. There's a lot of like bad behavior overall. There's like very few people to root for in the Von Dutch story.
Right.
And also it was like a brand that was notoriously like shitty.
It was like douchey and weird.
Yeah. Like it was like just right. When you think of like mid 2000s celebrity culture, it was just part of that. Lindsay Lohan would wear it. You know, it was just like, kind of like, it was like a good, I feel like people have jokes about like Affliction. It was kind of like that.
Right.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
So another documentary that was just so much fun and full of joy and life and flowers was Wayne Gacy Conversations with a Killer doc on Netflix, which I was really looking forward to because he's just such an iconoclastic kind of serial killer that I really thought they were going to go in depth, because apparently they had like hours and hours and hours of tape conversation with him that no one's heard before. Like his defense team interviewed him.
Okay.
And that's what this is based around.
Defense are these teams recordings?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. His defense team recorded him and he basically just admits to everything. I mean, this, I think, was one, the gig, it was up. People knew, he knew, everyone knew. And he finally was just like, yeah, this is what I did. So I really was expecting a lot more. I'd give this a 6, in that 6 range, because like you don't really learn anything new. You certainly are reminded of the horror that is John Wayne fucking Gacy. Like, holy crap.
I gotta say, I'm not okay. He's a clown guy. I know people collect his art. Is that right?
Did these
broad details right? Is this a Chris Smith one? This sort of reminds me of like when they did those Ted Bundy tapes.
Oh yeah, you're right. No, I don't think it was. I don't think these are Chris Smith actually. But there's 3 episodes. They really could have gotten away with one long one.
I mean, he could have gotten away with.
It's okay. It's like the 3rd episode you really don't need, because it's about his like childhood, and it's like, yeah, his dad was a dick, but so is mine. I didn't grow up and kill people, so whatever. I don't know, like, not into that. It's like, you know what I was more interested in, it was like his celebrity status after he was in prison, and when he was selling his fucking artwork and people wanted to like marry him and like thought he was like this god. Like, that to me is a lot more fucking interesting than he grew up and his dad was a dick and his mom was kind of distant, you know, kind of thing. But they don't get into it, which is really weird.
They don't get into the celebrity aspect of it
not at all, actually.
And they talk to him about his, they don't get into his childhood until the 3rd one. So at that point, you're just like, okay, there better be some answers here.
And there's not. I mean, it's uninteresting.
There never are full answers.
But the fact that this fucker like killed kids and then buried them in his crawl space and then ran out of room and buried them in his garage and then ran out of room and like, well, I guess the river, that's where you dump kids now. So then he just was like dumping them into a river, like, and he would have gotten away with it had not been for this meddling, very smart girl who put a receipt in his pocket. And that's how they basically ended up finding him, was this like random receipt that she like put in his pocket, because she was like, this guy's no good.
Oh, wait, is it like someone who got away and then like just?
No, it's at a convenience store mm-hmm. place that she was wearing this dude's jacket. Guy that she was working with, and he's like a 16-year-old boy. He heard that John Wayne Gacy was hiring for construction. He owned a construction business, Gacy.
Oh,
and and they said, hey, this guy out in the parking lot is hiring for his construction business. The kid was like, well, let me go talk to him. And he's like, can I get my coat? It's cold outside. And she was you remember back in our day when you would tear off the photo tab from the envelope? So when you would come in, it had the number that corresponded.
Are you talking about like photo developing?
Yeah.
Oh, photo developing. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. You remember that? Like you would put the photos and tear the thing. So she was like going through those and she put one in her pocket, in the kid's pocket, inadvertently. But
Yeah.
He went out and talked to Gacy and then never saw, no one ever saw him
again. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
And so then when the cops.
She had the matching piece.
Yes.
Oh.
Exactly. So when the cops went through Gacy's house for like the third time, they actually found the top. Yeah. Oh. No, not the jacket. The top of the photo thing. Because he was like, I don't know this kid, you know, and she was like, wait, I put that in the jacket. Like, I remember putting that in the jacket. And yeah, so it linked the two together, which got a bigger subpoena so that they could go in and like really dig shit up. And then they were like, huh, it kind of smells a little funky in here.
They like knew something was up, but they didn't have everything.
They knew something was up for a long time. Yeah. And they just didn't have a probable cause. And then they did, and then they're like, oh fuck. I mean, I think there's like 35 to 50 victims or something, and that's like on the low end.
Wow.
So yeah, anyways, but I give it another 6, and not a great documentary.
There's maybe like 40 souls or vanished from this earth. I'd give it, you see, the entertainment value was a 3 out of 5.
It's so hard to separate these two, you know, like it's hard to
that's why, you know? I like this victimless crime story.
Yeah, I know.
I'm
you
in,
do
I'm into like they're not completely victimless, but the fraud stories,
the swindle fraud ones.
I enjoy fraud. Give me a swindle.
There was the one about the guy that was the Tinder date swindler.
Did you watch that?
I did.
Okay, actually. I didn't watch it. So tell me.
It was good.
Tinder swindler, huh?
It's just like he would be going on dates with women and then would prey on their like niceness and then get tons of money from them with all these weird fucking stories. And I'm watching it the entire time, stop giving this dude fucking money. Like, they would take out mortgages and like sell shit. And it's like,
do they meet in person though? They do meet in person, or is it all okay? So they meet in person, so they know he's real. And then he asks him for shit.
Well, then he says like, oh, I'm a diamond. I have a diamond business. My family are billionaires. Here's pictures of my jets and stuff. And it's all fake. Like, he just all like, it's all Instagram fake stuff. And
it has like a Getty Images.
Yeah, exactly.
On it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, well, that's Spirit Airlines actually.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, he's a fucking asshole. So
he's an asshole. Do they interview him?
No.
Okay.
No, they don't. But then afterwards, he was trying to like, once it came out, he was on Twitter and stuff being like, no, it's not me. And I didn't do it. And I'm a new. Then I guess he was like trying to like reinvent himself as like, let me show you how not to get swindled.
Oh, my God. Guy. Oh, like, yeah. Like, I mean, he's like a white hat operative or something.
Exactly.
Yeah. God damn it. OK, should I tell you about Lula Rich then?
Sure. Yeah.
Oh, man. So Lula Rich is there. It was Lula Rowe. And this is like a brand of leggings for women. And it was specifically like a multi-level marketing scheme that emerged in Utah to like the Mormon community.
Weird.
And it's like, it kind of makes sense to like target like the Mormon community for this type of thing, because they're like, they have a lot of the women are like, don't have regular jobs because they have a lot of kids and stuff. And they also just like, it's a tight community, so they were just starting to sell within the Mormon community. And it's like, it's a multi-level marketing scheme when it's all about recruiting, basically, when the way you make money is recruiting,
right?
Because then the quality of the leggings went way down. They're already like kind of trash to start with.
Okay.
Design wise then they get to the point where they're fully like, the designers are like cranking out thousands of these designs, and they're just like grabbing shit from other people's websites to
put in
their designs. The leggings start to get moldy because they run out of space in their warehouse to store them, so they start storing them outside, and they're getting like mildewy and like and stuff. Like, I'm like, you can't run a warehouse for these leggings. Oh my God.
Is that the Lululemon thing? What's this?
No, Lululemon is a different brand that I think is more like yoga pants situation.
What's is it Lula?
Lula Rowe. Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, there's no retail stores because the whole thing is built on like, you know, this multi-level
right
scheme, like throwing a party, bringing people over.
Right.
Like, I mean, it was like really ingenious kind of in the beginning. A lot of these things are kind of ingenious in the beginning.
Of course.
Like she filled in a space and she was like enterprise. Right. It's this married couple. They both, for some reason, decided to be interviewed.
Oh, by this that's fun. Team.
When people are just like, I'll it'll be great if I get to tell my side.
Yeah,
of the story.
It's my side of the
never
story.
Never is.
Never.
Never is good.
No.
There's a couple of like interesting people in the literature story, but right. It's a three-parter on Amazon. I got kind of sucked into it around the same time the Von Dutch thing was happening.
Mm.
So it's a little, I would say that was kind of a more entertaining. Then it doesn't involve a bunch of children being killed. So
that's good. And what, yeah. And what you would recommend it? Watch,
you know,
watch
I would not? Say actually I did enjoy watching it. I don't think it's like a good, I give it a 7. I'm just going to up you on your,
oh,
sixes.
Whoa.
I'm going to give it a 7.
Okay. Okay. Just because they're not killing children.
Mostly that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Amazon sure. Prime. Also love all the, no Disney Plus shows. There's no dead children in those.
No, that's true.
Lilla Rich, it's like if you like a scam, it's like an entertainment. Like also if you're not a Mormon housewife,
right.
You're like, well, I never saw this one coming. This never came. I would never fall for this.
Right, right. Yeah.
But at the end of it, you might become a Mormon housewife. Who knows?
Yeah. I wouldn't mind it. Sounds relaxing. And then did you watch the Kanye?
I watched the first two. And then yeah. I know like everything up to the first two is like, this guy's pretty cool. And
yeah.
then like I know yeah. like the third one is like when things have to like be like everything, like his MAGA period,
when things come crashing down.
Not even the shit that has happened since the film came out,
right.
Which is him basically harassing his ex-wife and yes. like threatening Pete Davidson, which is basically like domestic violence charges.
Yeah.
I mean, it's harassment. It's like straight
clearly
up bonkers.
Yeah.
But like watching a young Kanye is like, oh wow, if my mom believed in me, maybe I'd be somewhere else right now.
Oh my god, that
Donda,
is so
we all
funny.
Need a Donda.
Yeah, like, for fucking sure, dude.
We need a
when
Donda
he
go-
when he goes
a
to
Donda-mentary.
Yeah, Donda-mentary. When he goes to Def Jams, I think, in New York and they pass.
Yeah.
Like that's
dude,
fucking
that's
nuts.
Amazing.
Yeah. Like the fact that they have that fucking footage, that's insane.
Yeah,
like what an incredible undertaking. Like we also need one of that dude, Slim, what was his name? I forget.
I love that dude. I forget his name too, but like I love that. Like this has turned into the documentary about this guy, the
yeah.
cameraman. He's like, I used to be a stand-up comic. I'm like,
yeah.
okay, I'm in. I'm
yes.
I relate to this.
Me
I'm like,
too,
maybe dude. Should I have been filming someone this whole time
yes.
instead of working on my own shit? Yes.
If you
probably.
Had been filming Ali Wong this whole time. He'd have yeah. some footage, baby. But yeah. like the fact that he believed in Kanye and was like, fuck it, let me just film this. And then you see when Kanye goes from Chicago to New York and nobody gives a fuck about him in New York. And he also believes in his shit so much. It's fucking nuts. It's really cool. I mean, yeah. aside from Kanye being fucking insane
yeah.
and turns into a megalomaniac, I think. But I also before we started recording, I want to be honest to our listeners that I the words Jeyenyuhs, I had no idea what that was, and then George was right.
You weren't
now
talking
like,
to anyone about it. You didn't have to like say.
I
like,
never said it
I'm
out loud.
Watching the Kanye, yeah, you're just saying I'm watching the Kanye doc.
Yeah, and now I'm like, oh, genius, of course. All yeah. right, that makes sense.
Jesus,
the Yeezy.
Yeah, yeah. Kanye, no, like there's definitely like things that are compelling. In the Kanye documentary,
I would actually recommend it. I thought it was good. Like,
yeah, you liked it. I remember
I did.
You said you liked it a lot.
Yeah, I did. I thought it was really watchable. I thought it was compelling. It's really well made. It's greatly. I think I like the editing. It's really. I find that kind of shit fascinating. I love biographical docs, anyways. But like to watch somebody when nobody believes in him, he was just a producer. They're just like, yo, like take your fucking rhymes out of here and give me those beats. Dude.
Not
you
even
know,
like, just a producer, like he produced like Jay-Z's
right.
hits and stuff.
Right, right, right.
He's
you're
like,
right.
A you... very well-known producer in that world, but no one viewed him.
You can't do more than one himself. Thing, dude. The yeah. entertainment world does not know what to do with people that are multi-talented. It does not stick in people's brains. I don't think you can do more than one thing. You have to prove to them that you can. You know, you have to keep being like, no, I can fucking write lyrics, you know.
And I can run a fashion label, and I can run for president.
Yes, see, yeah, exactly. Like you really have to, if you want to do other things, people will pigeonhole you so fucking fast, man. Like, you've got to have that strength to break out, because people want to pigeonhole you. They don't know what to do.
I think Kanye was trying to get into video games also, like making video games.
Yeah, why not? I can believe it. He's so stupid rich now, you know, like there's a point where you just have too much money. I think, like,
I mean, one, not you said you, like the royal you.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I think the We Crashed film. Did you watch that?
No, I have not yet.
That's a point where like someone has too much money, where they're like, just like, I'll just buy this $15 million house.
There's been a lot of, like we were saying before, there's been a lot of biopics coming out.
Yeah.
Of documentaries, basically.
Yeah, right. Well, it's interesting also, I would throw that one up against, I did enjoy The Shrink Next Door, which is also based on a podcast that's Will Ferrell.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, Paul Rudd.
And Paul Rudd, yeah.
And Catherine
Wait,
Hahn.
I didn't know that.
That's based on a podcast. Did you watch it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really good. And it's directed really by Michael Showalter. And then I also realized Michael Showalter directed The Dropout. And The Dropout is also pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
But I think it's the Michael Showalter touch, because We Crashed, it's kind of garbage.
Well, what about The Inventor? Garbage. Aren't they? Didn't they?
The Dropout is The Inventor. The Dropout is the Elizabeth Holmes.
Right.
And so that's Amanda Seyfried. And a bunch of people in that, like Stephen Fry is in that.
Okay.
Yeah, just a lot of people you don't expect to see are in that one.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. Well, and then they did like Gordon The Eyes Metcalf, of Tammy Faye. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. How is that? I didn't see that.
Really
one.
Good.
That was good? Okay. Tell
it's
me more
really,
about that one.
It's really
I mean,
good.
I remember Tammy Faye, but yeah.
Well, the documentary, The Eyes of Tammy Faye, is amazing. It's an amazing fucking documentary.
Okay.
That's, again, one of my all-time favorite time periods of documentary filmmaking is like that mid- Shit, I don't even know what year that came out. Let me look real quick. The Eyes, maybe sing us a song or something.
I'm looking up. I'm looking it up too.
Eyes of Tammy Faye.
2000.
Yeah, that's that. Okay,
Fenton
around that
Bailey,
time period.
Randy Roboto.
93 to like 2005 is probably my favorite time period of documentary filmmaking, because it's like, it's so raw. There's not a lot of quick edits. There's no superfluous information. There's no animation. There's no lower third shit. It's just fucking, it's mise-en-scene, kind of fly on the wall filmmaking, but in that 90s kind of style. I love that. So that that documentary, The Eyes of Tammy Faye, is amazing. They made a fiction version called The Eyes of Tammy Faye,
With Chastain.
Yeah, and she is so fucking good.
She's good in everything.
She is so good in everything. She's one of my favorite actors, and she's unrecognizable. And even Andrew Garfield, who I'm not a fan of, like, whatever. I mean, I'm sure he's a nice guy. I just don't. He seems like khaki pants to me. Like, he just seems to blend into the background for me.
Yeah.
But he's really good.
He's Jim Baker in this?
He's Jim Baker. Yeah.
What is Vincent D'Onofrio in this? Danoff's is in here. I see him. Maybe he's not like a main character, but
no, he's not. Yeah. He is, I think, one of Jim's like business partners.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's like starting to get to the point of like who's that third guy in Succession who stands on the side?
Right.
Like, there's just too many people.
Yeah, but it's really good. It's a really good biopic. I really enjoyed it. It's really well made, and Jessica Chastain is like unrecognizable. Mm-hmm. I mean, she just is Tammy Faye. It's really good. I would highly recommend it.
Again, Michael Showalter coming through with
coming through
deliveries here.
Yeah.
So he's I think the secret ingredient to a few of these things. There's been a fair amount of these. Did you start watching The Staircase? I didn't watch The Staircase.
I don't know if it's out yet, is it?
Oh, maybe it's by the time this drops, it's probably
It might be out when this drops. I have not, but I'm going to, because it's like my top 10 documentary list. So I love that fucking documentary series.
Yeah, we never did a Staircase episode.
We tried. I wanted to badly years ago, but it's just, there's like 10 parts.
So fucking long.
It's so long, but it's so fucking good. It is so, it's a masterpiece. It really is. It's a fucking masterpiece. I mean, it's, and it was like a 10-part series way before there were like series, you know. And it kind of, and I don't like, I will say like, this does not need to be a series, but that one, it does. Like it's, it goes through the whole trial and it's fucking amazing. So like, I'm very interested in watching the, and who the biopic, who stars in it?
That's a good question.
Cause I looked at it, I was like, oh, that's a good that's good casting. It's not Jeff Daniels. Oh, Colin Firth.
Oh, right. Right. Colin Firth.
Yep. And Toni Collette. Okay.
She's great.
She's great. Oh, Parker Posey's in it.
That's okay. Interesting casting. When I think of like what the guy looks like, that's,
yeah.
I don't think Colin Firth, maybe I can see it. But I'm thinking of, you know, there's definitely
Michael Peterson was the author that it's based on. And that's another, The Staircase came out in 2004
is what I'm
two?
Saying.
Oh, four? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's that time period again. I just, something about that style of filmmaking that was happening in that time period, I just love so much.
Yeah. I mean, that's sort of VHS era. That's the end of the VHS era.
It is. And it was like, it also, when no, like documentaries were in the, like the, cutout bin in your local video store, like nobody, like it was when you watched a good doc, you might not ever meet someone else who actually watched the doc. you know like it's like it, so it was a very special thing when you're just like home movie or American movie or what's the
Hands on Hard Body,
yeah, there you go, all of those that came around in that time, like kids the kid stays in the picture, like
yeah,
that was the first one where I actually met other people that had like seen it, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, oh yeah, I saw that doc in the movie or whatever. Or
now it's like, it is like one of the few things that we can all talk about that we all have to watch.
Yeah, and you know, surprisingly, I thought it was going to be a bigger need.
Well, look, I think we've done a good job 7 years
of, hell like, yeah brother,
walking fuck through yeah. these,
I'm proud
talking
of it.
Through these where
it made us $100
right,
tens of dollars over the years, but we did it for the love.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, I'm better at talking into a microphone
so
now.
Good at it.
We upped our, you know, our social media presence. And oh, shout out to our interns. We got two interns.
That's right. You're right.
We got Nick Coltis.
We got Patreons.
Kern Hogg's been helping us with editing. Mm-hmm. He's on tour this week, but I may be editing this one. So
yay. What's your
write all complaints to our Twitter.
Yes.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
7 years. What do you like? Give me a couple highlights. Doesn't have to be episodes or just like highlights for you.
I mean, we fucking Dana Gould came to my house.
that's pretty cool. Yeah.
And like almost cool. I almost didn't hear him like trying to call me. I just stuck my head. He was in his car
about
to
leave.
I stuck my head out and I'm like, "Hi." And he's like, "Are you George?" I'm like, "Yeah." And he's like, "Okay, I didn't know what was going on."
Yeah, that apartment was hard to get into. I don't think it you had a doorbell hard. Or anything, right?
No, I didn't. Yeah. Fuck Blackstone Realty. Also.
Yes. Well, like Wayne Fetterman was texting me being like, I don't know how to get in.
George is Asian.
Orange soda pop.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, having Dana Gould chill and dude, that fucking episode, man, that episode, that's when I was like, oh, this is what happens when you have like a guest that is like motivated, did some thinking, loved the doc, had something to say about it.
Wrote a pilot based on the documentary,
like some kind of monster. Like when he was like, it was like the Beatles were like, because they had like mother issues, and the Metallica is because they had father issues. And I was just like, what?
That's why he's fucking the guy he is.
Yeah. Yeah, that was
and I
cool.
would also say like the live shows were really good, like all of our live shows were good.
Yeah.
Even the not as some of them were not greatly attended, but they all like were like fun.
Super fun. Yeah. Yeah. That was one of my like talking to Dan at Outside Lands.
Dan Deacon. Yeah.
Dan Deacon was, I really enjoyed that. I thought that was really cool. And then like he went on stage and like did an inside joke for us where he changed Dan Deacon to the Doors. We had talked about the Doors and he took tape and respelled his name as the Doors. I was like, that's fucking awesome.
I didn't remember that part.
Yeah. I have pictures because we talked about the Doors and then he changed. Anyways. Yeah. The live shows were cool. Fucking Brett Morgan, like getting to talk to him in his studio. And he has a new doc.
Oh God. The David Bowie. Yeah. The authorized Bowie doc. He has like all this archival footage of Bowie.
And he talked to us about it then, which was what, 3 years ago?
Right. We were like, so what are you working on? We're like looking around his office. There's all this Bowie books, all this Bowie shit. He's like,
yeah,
I'll tell you about it later. We're like, yeah.
Well, he showed us his editing bay. And it was, remember that? And he had, I think, Final Cut or maybe Adobe Premiere, but it was like all those like tabs and it was like all this Bowie stuff. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
In that killer office, the Brett Morgan machine keeps turning, guys.
I know.
Come back on, Brett. We would love to have you back on. I have a couple documentary directors I would love to talk to. We're going to get to them at some point. There's a couple guests we had sort of started conversations with and then, you know, we got busy, but we're going to try to get everyone on the show to talk about some real fucking obscure stuff.
Yeah, dude.
Some stuff where it's just like, oh my God, I can't believe I have to find this on Tubi.
Yeah.
This is going to be on Tubi. It's going to be on Canopy. Like it's going to be, we're getting obscure, guys.
I would say if you're listening right now, doing the dishes, you're in your car, you're shopping, you're taking a walk, whatever. If you have a documentary that you love, let us know. Like email us supdocpodcast@gmail.com and we'll feature it. We'll talk about it. Or if you make like documentaries, like let us know, get a hold of us.
We also love to, you know, just talk about weird things that are in the news now that would make great docs.
The January 6th documentary.
Oh, wow.
Or the Alito fucking leaked.
The January 6th documentary, there is a podcast about January 6th.
Is there?
It's just come out, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Will Be Wild.
Oh, yeah,
I have not checked that out yet, but it's all
That's
about
a great
that,
title.
Basically. Yeah.
I'm way too addicted to Trump shit. I read so much, like, every day. It's stupid.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Speaking of Trump, I will throw, like, I hung out with a past guest, Richard Parks, last night, and he was obsessed with showing this Danny Aiello movie from 1993 called The Pickle. Have you ever heard of this movie?
I have, oddly enough.
Have?
Yeah.
Because no one had ever heard of it. I'm like, I would say I'm a Danny Aiello fan.
Sure.
So wait, it's like, I have how did I not know this. About The Pickle? It's Paul Mazursky's last movie that he wrote and directed.
Right.
And it's a fucking train wreck. I feel like there should be a documentary about the making of The Pickle. Because it's just like, it basically opened in a weekend and closed in a weekend.
This movie.
It made like 80 grand.
Right.
And it's like Dan Aiello's in it. Little Richard's in it. Ali Sheedy's in it.
Shelley Winters.
Shelley Winters is in this movie.
Jerry
Diane
Stiller.
Diane Cannon. Yeah. It's insane. And then Trump makes the briefest of cameos.
Wow.
And we just had to like pause it for a second and be like, ugh. I gotta shake that off.
Spalding Gray.
Yes, and he's like, "Hi." He's a doctor, and he's like, "Hi, my name is Spalding."
Oh my God.
They didn't write him.
Anything?
No, Stephen Tobolowsky is in this movie.
Wow.
I can't recommend this movie at all.
Did you tweet about it? Is that where
I don't know. No, it's on Amazon Prime. Like, where do movies from 1993 with Danny Aiello go to die?
Right.
Amazon Prime.
Amazon Prime is definitely the catch-all bucket for that.
But, that's like, I want to see the doc. I want a seven-part series.
The Pickle. Oh, my God.
The movie about how Hollywood is corrupt and Paul Mazursky's a genius, but also his best idea for what he thought a popular movie would be is a movie about a pickle that flies into space that's flown by Ali Sheedy and lands in a vegetarian planet.
Sign me up. Oh my God, that's amazing. Yeah. So are there docs coming that you haven't seen that you want to see? I know for me, I want to see the Vonnegut doc on Hulu. I've still not seen that. I heard it's really good.
Yeah, I have Hulu. You got to get your Hulu game up.
Hulu's I have
representing
Hulu.
Pretty good now. Yeah,
I know. I have Hulu. I'm just so fucking lazy. It's not on my PlayStation. It's on my TV, so I don't watch it. But I'm a huge Vonnegut fan. I actually got to see him talk twice, lecture okay. twice, and it was awesome.
Whoa, you saw him in person lecturing
twice? Yeah.
Wow, yep. What year was that? Was this in Michigan?
90, yeah, it was. Yep, okay. 93, I think. 92, okay. 93. Yeah, wow. I saw him give two lectures. One was Why the Bible. It was the greatest story of fiction ever written. It was like okay. he did this whole like diagram showing like the hero's journey. He talked mm-hmm. about like it was so fucking amazing. I was cool. really, really high, but I do remember that part.
Well, that reminds me, like I did see Allen Ginsberg one time.
In San Francisco?
In San Jose. He came okay. to like, San Jose State or something. And then also, like, weirdly, at my high school one day, like the Merry Pranksters bus just ended up right by my high school.
That's weird.
And like we had read like Ken Kesey. We had read some like I think I was supposed to read Electric Kool-Aid Acid Test.
Right.
I can't remember anything about have you read Electric Kool-Aid Acid
yeah,
Test?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
I can't remember much about it. I feel like Don Buchla is talked about in that book. I got to go in the Merry Pranksters.
Oh, bus. You went on.
Yeah, they let us like come there because it was like broken down. And I'm like,
oh my
this
God,
is like a
funny.
Metaphor. This yes. is a metaphor.
But and you being a straight edge kid.
Yeah. Too. And like, I'm going to go on. Yeah.
You're like, it's just a smelly bus.
I'm trying to remember like who was on there. I'm trying to think if Kesey would have been alive at that point. I think he was. Still
I think
alive
so.
Then.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've also just like would just see Wavy Gravy like at the movies.
Right. Like, yeah. I remember seeing Berkeley. Him at Comedy Day and some other places before. I was like, right. Oh, wow, it's Wavy Gravy. That's so weird.
Yeah. He's
you
he's
have an ice cream
us.
Flavor.
Yeah. Speaking of docs that I want, I posted a few things on our Facebook page. So there's a few, I was trying to remember what these ones were. Lance Bangs is doing one called I Don't Belong Here, which is a series, I believe.
Oh, right.
And yeah. it's about the 90s alt rock boom. I could just imagine
right.
the stories because he's in Portland. He's like been in the indie rock world and he's like in every world. We got to fucking get Lance on here.
I don't think that would be too hard.
No, he did the Jackass movies. He's like right. been involved in like every scene that is interesting in the last like 35
yeah.
years.
He filmed a thing here in San Francisco, right? At the Sylvan House?
That was for Viceland. That was the
right.
Flophouse series.
Oh, right.
Very famously, I was like, I was cut out of that, but in the end, I'm like, well, that channel doesn't exist anymore. That was
yeah.
I got an IMDb credit, but it's fine. And then let's see, what were some other things that are coming up? There is a Brian Eno documentary in the works.
Wow.
That's going to be bonkers.
Yeah.
This from IndieWire. I don't know. It says it's not going to be conventional. Of course not. It's probably going to be like a CD-ROM or something.
Right.
It'll be a pigeon. Drink this liquid.
Right.
And that's how you get the information for the documentary.
You walk
it's
into
binary
a QR
water.
Code.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, so it's going to be some weird, you know, thing.
Have you ever seen him live? Did you ever get a chance to see him?
No.
Yeah, me neither.
No, I'm not. Oh, and then speaking of how terrible people trying to turn a real thing into a narrative, this looks so bad. There's a Sex Pistols biopic Oof. Thing coming out on FX.
Oh, no.
Called,
oh, no.
Pistol. It's just called Pistol.
That's too bad. It yeah, can't be it any looks, good.
No.
Thing is, too, is like, you know, there's sometimes where they over dramatize things. Mm-hmm. Like, let's say Money Time, the LA Lakers thing, which is awesome.
Is that good? I haven't watched that. Is that the
four? It's really good. And I'm not a fan of
John C. Reilly is in this.
He's so fucking good.
Yeah.
He's so good. But Adam
Driver?
The director.
Adam McKay. You're not a fan of Adam McKay.
I hate his stuff.
Wow. This seems so off brand for you.
No, I don't think so, really. If you really like, I don't like Adam McKay. I don't like ham fisted comedies. Like his stuff is so whatever that Netflix show. that Netflix movie that he did about the environment.
Oh, yeah. That was a mixed review. Oh, I didn't watch that. There's a mixed review.
So I don't like Adam McKay stuff in general.
Don't like Succession? Well, he's a producer. I guess that's kind
of. Well, yeah, that's not. I mean, if he had made that, I'd be like, okay, there's one thing. This, though, there is one thing I love that he's done, and it's this. It's so well done. Like, it's really good. But my point being is that they've over-dramatized it, and people are like, that's not how I went. I think with the Sex Pistols, they can't even get to the level of what they actually did.
That's
going to be underplayed, you know?
If anything, like I also like Sid and Nancy. I remember liking that as a kid, but I'm like, I don't think it holds up super well.
No, it's really not good now. Like, yeah, I tried to watch it a couple years ago, and I was like, whoa.
Oh my God, I posted about this thing, and do you know about Chris Morris?
Mm-mm.
Okay, so Chris Morris is like a UK comedy guy. He did this show called Brass Eye, which was like a total like news parody show, but they also like did all this stuff. It's a lot of pranky stuff.
Hmm.
Like the story about Chris Morris, one of the stories about Chris Morris is like he worked in radio and he somehow like pumped another studio filled with helium.
Holy shit.
Well, he's in another room and while people were trying to read like legit news.
Oh, that's funny.
And then like,
he and just, it worked.
Like, and, yeah. Like people just voices just started getting higher.
Oh
and
my
higher.
God. What?
It's like, that's dangerous actually also, but yes. Also like fucking
extremely
amazing.
Funny. Wow.
That's fucking amazing. So like there's a film called Oxide Ghost, which I guess is like outtakes from Brass Eye, like people that were producers on the show, there was stuff that was cut out. And like, this is a notoriously, this guy does no interviews. This guy has a very low profile. You may have heard of Four Lions. That's one of his few movies. Riz Ahmed's in that movie.
Mm.
That's like his terrorist slapstick comedy, a jihadist slapstick comedy,
right?
Like 11 years ago, 12 years ago. So yeah, I'm very curious about this. I haven't even seen all of Brass Eye, but just the idea of like getting behind the curtains of like stuff that got cut out and like the process of Chris Morris actually like, you know, just
yeah.
processed. Cause like he's done so much stuff that's so influential on a lot of comedy, but is like, he's well known in England, not well known here, but
right.
very influential still, I think. On
oh, that's awesome.
Wave of like comedy for sure. So that's an interesting documentary I'd love to see. They were doing a tour of it, but I don't think it's readily available in the US. So that's right. A couple of docs that I'm interested in seeing.
Right on. Very cool. So should we wrap this up?
Yeah, man.
I feel like we should. I feel like
felt like 7 years just now.
Well, it feels good, man. Feels good. It's been a long time. It's been a while. It's been like 7 months.
Feels good, man. Another interview we did on Subdoc.
Feels good, man. Yeah. But so you know
you have shows.
I have shows coming up, man. Yeah. I'm actually doing whenever this might be dropping next weekend, and I'll be at the Savage Henry Comedy Club headlining next weekend.
Wait, they own a club now up there? Is it the old Jambalaya? Mm-hmm.
My first time there. I don't know.
Oh, your first time up there? Okay.
Yeah.
That's a fun arcade. The Humboldt Arcata comedy scene is a whole, and it's all Savage Henry, basically. Yeah.
Right.
They really like made it happen.
I was supposed to headline there like 3 years ago and something came up and I contacted Chris again. And I was like, hey, and he's like, let's do it. So I was like, okay,
right on. It'll be fucking fun. You're going to get so stoned.
I don't smoke anymore. So.
Oh, you don't? Okay.
No,
well, I didn't either, but I was around the stoniest people of my life. Savage Henry Comedy Fest. Very fun. Savage. It's great. They have a club. I didn't know they had an actual club now. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yep. They have a club. So I'll be headlining that the 13th and 14th. It's going to be a fun weekend. I'm doing Sally Tomatoes and then I'm headlining the Cobbs. Then I'm going to see Bill Burr. And then I'm doing headlining the Savage Henry Comedy Club.
Nice.
Like
nice.
All in a row.
Active comedy life for Paco. I'm like doing some comedy. I'm doing maybe gonna do some music again. It's sort of like on the back burner. I've been just like practicing drawing.
Oh, good.
I'm maybe working on like a zine. I'm just gonna say all these things so I'll have a record of like,
there you go.
I thought I was gonna do 8 things in 2022 and then I only did one of them. And then I actually have a very good idea for a new podcast that I'm gonna do.
Oh,
and
good.
Like potentially this is the podcast where I will make money.
Whoa.
I'm not going to tell you the idea, not right now. I'll tell you off mic.
Yeah, like, save
watch
it.
Watch the space.
Yeah.
I have a potentially money-making
wow
podcast idea.
Holy shit. You need a co-host?
Maybe. I got to figure out. Okay, I'll tell you the idea. You're going to see like how
yeah it's gonna, how well, now it's I'm titillated.
I know. So, and then stay tuned to this space. God damn it. Why sounds so old? this is a podcast. In the podcast feed coming up soon, my interview with Paul Myers.
There you go.
At Reg Harkema, Nick McKinney, the filmmaking team behind the Kids in the Hall documentary, Comedy Punks. I think I'm going to have to edit that one myself, unfortunately. So you will hear the sound quality you've come to expect from George Chen's GarageBand projects.
All right, buddy. Well, happy anniversary.
Happy 7 years, Paco.
Yeah. Yeah, happy 7 years. We'll talk soon.
Couldn't have done it without you guys.
Oh, that is true. God damn it. Yeah, thanks everybody for listening, especially everyone who's listened for 7 years.
Actually, we can. A lot of podcasts can do it without the audience.
That's true.
And I think that's what, you know.
A lot of them do.
Yeah.
A lot of them do it. They do it without the audience. We like our audience and our doc watchers and our doc makers. All right. Well, let's talk soon, George.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about SupDoc at supdocpodcast.com. Our theme music was written by David Siegel, and our executive producer is Will Scovel. Donate to the show through our Patreon page, patreon.com/supdocpodcast. If you want to help out in other ways, please share this show with a friend. Join the Doc Talk and check out our hot takes, pictures, and videos on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. We're SupDoc Podcast on all those platforms. Don't forget to rate, review, and follow on Apple Podcasts. Find Paco and George's comedy gigs on the About Us page on our site. SupDoc is by doc fans for doc fans. So if you want to advertise, got a film, or opinions to share, hit us up. Email us at supdocpodcast@gmail.com.